In life, we all step up to the plate. Every kid dreams of hitting a home run, but that's not always easy. As kids, following rules is hard. Just like in baseball, God has a game plan for us. To run the bases the right way, so that we make the right choices, treat others with love, and do our best. Most importantly, we look to our parents as coaches, so that we learn the right way to live a home run life.
So we're going to continue our series, our sermon series. It's a 12-stone series that I wanted to share with you. It's on home run kids, raising home run kids. So this is one of those topics that is really, it's a fun topic for all of us to think about as being a good parent, right? But then for those of you who may not, I've already been there, done that. If you're a grandparent, this is for you. If you are a child of a parent, this is for you. This is a good teaching as far as understanding what it means to raising home run kids. What is the idea? Obviously, as we see the ball diamond behind me, you have your home plate, first base, second base, third base, and to make it home, right? And that's the home run. That's the goal, is to obviously get, that's your goal. And so when we think about as parents, what are those goals for us? What are the things that we want our kids to do, to be? And so kind of just an overview quickly of this teaching, home plate is to love God first. We talked about that last Sunday, is to raise kids that love God first. I mean, that's the most important thing, is to love God, raising children that knows God and knows how to revere Him, to honor Him, and to love Him. And so first base is today we're going to talk about loving yourself and having being a person of character. We want our kids to be people of character. Like I said before, we're not raising children, right? We're not raising children, we're raising adults. We don't want our kids to stay the same. We don't want our kids to stay kids. We want them to be adults with character, strong integrity, people that live above reproach. Second base, we're going to talk about next week, is loving others. We're going to get into that a little bit. And third base is loving what you do, building something that's bigger than yourself. So these are the kind of steps that we're going to walk through the next 4 weeks. But today we want to talk about character. Character in our kids. Making sure that we're imparting character in them and that love of God, yes, but understanding having self-respect enough to have that character. And so we all get this as adults. We all understand that one thing leads to the other, right? Like if you do stupid things, you reap stupid things, right? Yeah, I mean, as a kid, as teenagers, as you all remember, we do stupid things. And once you do stupid things, you reap stupid things. What's true in this physical life is also true in your relationships. Like, if you do something stupid, it affects everything around you, the people around you at times. If you do morally stupid things, if you do character stupid things, if you do physical stupid things, it will lead to reaping stupid things, right? We get this. We're just not sure why our kids don't understand, right? So I remember, if you ever had a trampoline or been on a trampoline, maybe you've seen a trampoline. We had a trampoline growing up, and our kids, it was one of those really, really safe trampolines. You know, it had no padding. It had exposed, springs, those netting things. Come on, that's for sissy kids. Come on, we had no netting. So we're awesome parents. We really were. We only had, seven stitches out of that trampoline maybe, Jay? I think, yeah. So, you know, no big deal. So yeah, it's just seven stitches. Not seven times, but there's so we had one of those trampoline things, right? And so the kids loved it. We would just see them out there all the time, and they would wrestle on it, right? And they would use it as just like a place to hang out. But you remember on a trampoline, when you double bounce somebody, you double bounce, right? Then so you get ready, you get two people maybe on one end, and then you kind of get the rhythm. You get the rhythm, and then there's some schmuck on the other end. It's usually the younger kids, so Jack. Sorry. So it was Jude and Jay, let's just say, and then Jack. He's like, hey, Jack, just go stand over there. This will be really fun. And the double bounce thing. So you kind of get ready, and the two guys on one side, you go, and then you jump, and then you double bounce, and then the person on the other end of the trampoline just goes flying and skyrockets, right? Well, that's kind of the law of one thing leads to the other. That's the law of doing stupid things leads to stupid results. But hey, it's fun as kids. But what I want to talk about today is just understanding that what we do truly affects who we are, right? I mean, this is going to be rocket science today. What we do truly affects who we are. How we parent truly affects how our kids respond to this. And the Apostle Paul tells us in this fantastic passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26. And so the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Galatia, he's kind of saying, listen up, people, because if you do stupid things, you're going to get stupid results. If you do one thing, it's going to lead to the other. If you bounce on one end with two people, you're going to skyrocket somebody on the other end. So there's this reaction that takes place. Let's read it together. It should be on the screen. But if you'd like to turn to your Bibles or turn to your phones, whatever it works for you, Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 13. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. There's that cause and effect, right? So verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want to do. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And so as we see Paul writing this amazing passage of Scripture, there's so much in there. We don't have time to dig into all of this, but this is definitely worth rereading for you in your quiet time, in your devotional time. But when you think about what Paul is saying, is he's giving us this understanding that when you do something, this is the world we live in. When you do something, you reap a benefit, or you reap the exact opposite of what you're trying to do. When you just do something stupid, you reap something stupid. That's my paraphrase. And so when we think about raising kids of character, being good parents, godly parents, we need to teach this to our children. We need to teach this to our kids. We want to raise kids to choose the right way. We want to raise kids that choose the right thing, make the right choices. I mean, we all understand this. But as we read before, we're often caught between this tug of war of parenting, this tug of war of the fight between the Spirit and the flesh. So I'm going to give you three ideas here of maybe different parenting styles that we've got to be careful of. Two are the ones that maybe we got to be careful of, and the third one we're going to take a look at a little bit more deep. But here's one that says, ruled by discipline without emotion. If we parent with discipline only, without any emotion, that's kind of being inhuman in a way. You know anybody like that? Like the person who is just like, you know, you got to discipline your kids. You've got to discipline your kids. No matter what happens, discipline your kids. And then there's no love, there's no emotion, there's nothing there. Maybe you have had a grandparent like that, right? That generation was the generation of, like, kids are to be seen and not, right? So you all had grandparents like that. Maybe parents. Kids are to be seen and not heard. And so that's the idea. That's that ruling your family, your household by discipline, 100% discipline only. And there's zero emotion. Maybe you were raised in a military family, right? This is classic, where you're raised by a military family. And this is that discipline, heavy on discipline. My dad was a drill sergeant in the Army. And so thank the Lord that he could take off his drill sergeant hat and he could still have some emotion and love there with me and my sister when we were being raised. But this is the type of person or parent that lacks heart and engagement with your children. This is that inhumane type of feeling, a type of parenting where it's like all it is 100% discipline. So there's another extreme. There's the opposite of that. This is that emotion without discipline. 100% emotion without discipline. So parents, you're just all emotional. You're all feelings. You know, feelings rule your house. However you feel is what is there. However you feel is what's okay. And this is that opposite parent of being ruled by emotion without discipline. This is immaturity. So we see that even our society sometimes says it's all about the feels. It's all about the feels. If it feels good, yeah. If it feels good, we get it, right? That's what our society is saying. If it feels good, do it. That just go on your feelings. You see, feelings aren't enough. Feelings aren't enough. So a parent who is parenting by emotion without discipline is that opposite the way we're supposed to be parenting. We live in a culture. We live in a culture that makes decisions based on feelings. Decisions based on feelings. And that's pretty scary. I mean, we've got to be careful of that. That we've got to be, that we don't make decisions. We don't live our lives 100% in feeling and emotions, because then we're in danger of being immature and not balanced. Paul says it this way in verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And so when we see that there's this spirit versus flesh, this battle in our lives, we can see that we want to be sure that this conflict is hit head on when we're parenting. This is the conflict within every one of us. Each and every one of us has this conflict of spirit versus flesh. Going with the spirit of God in our lives versus the flesh that wants to be conflicted with that very spirit. See, this is the life led by the Spirit Paul talks about, where we simply don't let our desires and our feelings make the decisions, but we let the Spirit of God run and rule our lives and everything we do and everything we say and how we parent. So we've got to parent through this conflict between the Spirit and the flesh. You know, we don't want to be raising spiritually immature children. We don't want to be raising children that don't recognize that there's a battle that goes on, the battle that takes place. Paul gives us a great list. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. Here's the whole list, Paul says, of how you are gratifying the sinful nature. We don't want to raise spiritually immature children to become spiritually immature adults. And so we've got to realize that understanding this battle. I want to play a video for you really quick, because this is kind of a cute way to look at it. Think about all these different adults going around our world, all these adults walking around acting like kids. Take a look at this video and you'll see why.
I think it's already starting. today? We have hamburgers, we have fries, we have hot dogs. What do you want?
Fries and a hot dog.
Oh, wait, fries and hot dogs. We'll be right back for that. It's gonna cost $14.
I have $30.
So what? $16. All right, we can take that. Here's your fly. The hot dog isn't gonna be ready until a few minutes. So I'll ask you what you wanna drink too. What do you wanna drink? We have fruit punch, we have Sprite, we have Dr. Pepper, oh, we have Sprite. So what do you want?
Fruit punch.
All right. It'll be out in just a minute. The drink is gonna cost $100 million. Quarters.
I only have $16.
We can take that.
Okay.
Here's your change.
Okay.
Here's your fruit punch. Sorry, your hot dog isn't gonna be ready in a few cents so long. What do you want for your kids?
Kids, what do you want? Do you want? Dr. Pepper. Okay, Dr. Pepper.
I think that is not for kids here. Here is the...
Can you imagine going around our world with a bunch of adults acting like little kids? Maybe that's our society we live in already, but I thought that would be pretty funny for us to take a look at. We want to be making sure that we're raising children, not just to be children, but we want to grow them up. We want to grow them up to be healthy adults. So number three, I want to talk about being ruled by self-control. This is the emotionally mature. This is the mature. Understanding that we need to rise above the rule of sin and selfishness to raise our children to be quality, godly adults. So we want to make sure that self-control is a part of our lives. And that's what Paul's talking about, is understanding the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the biggest one is having self-control. And so I want to talk about the qualities in a self-controlled parenting situation, this emotionally mature, when there's a good balance of discipline and emotion and love, and there's that great balance there. But we want to make sure that we want our kids to tell the truth, right? So the first thing we really want to pour into our children is honesty, is making sure that they're honest. We want to raise honest kids. I mean, you ever had your children tell a lie to you? I mean, yeah, that's just what it is. That's what they do. Little kids lie. I can tell you story after story of our kids. And as they were growing up, little, young, it's like, yeah, did you do that? No, I didn't do that. Really? Because I think you did. No, I didn't do that. See, they're just born to sin, right? We're born to lie. We're born as in the inherent sin nature as little children. And so the idea is to mature and to get out of that idea of lying. You know, I heard a funny way to really combat this. So parents of young kids, even parents of teenagers, or whatever, this is hilarious. So the goal is to have your kids, you know, tell the truth, but if they're insistent on lying, let them lie. But the rules are is that if you lie, I can lie. Okay? New rules of the house. So if you lie, that's fine, but dad gets to lie too. Let me kind of illustrate it this way. So, you know what? Tonight, remember we told you that it's going to be pizza night? I lied. Just kidding. We're having broccoli. So remember I told you guys that you could spend the night at your friend's house? Guess what? I lied. You got to stay home. You see the idea? You really think they're going to lie again. They're like, wait a minute. If dad's lying, how in the world that doesn't work? So maybe we should tell the truth. Honesty is the key. honesty. You see, sin is always rooted in a lie. So the number one thing, the goal is to get them to tell themselves the truth. You see, they're not lying to themselves, they're not lying to all of us. They're lying to themselves. And the number one thing that we lie to ourselves about is sin. We lie to ourselves that sin is going to be okay. It's tolerable in our lives. Sin will promise to deliver happiness, and that's a lie. And so we want to be careful to raise kids with honesty toward us and honesty toward themselves, to realize that sin is a hole that you can't, you will get it deeper and deeper and deeper. And so let's teach our children not to lie necessarily always to us, but not to themselves as well. We want to raise kids that are thankful, generous, grateful children. You know, if you don't have gratitude, there's ingratitude. We want to strive for thankfulness in our children. Ungrateful kids always will take things for granted. Ungrateful adults always take things for granted. And when you take things for granted, you become a consumer of things. When you take things for granted, you become a consumer. So we want to raise children that are thankful and have gratitude in their heart. And of course, thirdly, another way that we can have this balance is that pay then play. This idea of pay then play. You know, I look at it this way: you either pay now or pay later, but one way, shape, or form is you're going to pay, right? I mean, that's life. You either pay now or you pay later. But we want to make sure that we're raising delayed gratification into our kids. The delayed gratification. That's the idea. It's not instant gratification, but pay then play. We, of course, as we raise our kids, we're making sure that you're saying, work hard, earn that thing that you want, and that it'll become a lot more grateful in life. So as we think of Paul, when he was writing, talking to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5, as he gives us this great list, this great idea of understanding that we are to build good character in us as Christians. We as parents want to build good character in our children, making sure that they realize there's that battle of the flesh and the spirit. And there's going to be always that battle between the flesh and the spirit. But we also want to realize, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so when we pour this into our children as parents, we work on these attributes. We look to God and say, God, I need this as a parent. I want to pour into my kids to have these qualities of a godly man or woman of Christ. So as we think about this morning, we think about the first base in raising home run children, raising home run kids, is that having godly character. Godly character is something that we can work on, because we as adults, we need to be men and women of character as well. So let's take some time. Before we sing this next song, I always want to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe just take this time to pray. Take this opportunity to pray for your children, pray for your grandchildren, pray for yourself. Say, Lord, I need help with parenting, because if you're in here today and you say that you got it all figured out, including me, well, we're wrong. We don't have it all figured out. All we can do is our best. So take this moment, take this time just to, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, and just pray for your kids, pray for your grandkids, pray for yourself. Say, Lord, help me to be a better parent. Help me to raise godly kids. Help me to raise mature kids. Help me to be a mature parent in understanding how I do this. So just take this moment and just ask God for help.